broadcasting from the Highway 40 studios in Tioga, North Dakota. You're listening to Talk of the Town with Jim Prather. Join the show live anytime, 701-664-KTGO. That's 664-5846. Or email the show, ktgo@flagfamily.com. And now, here's your host for Talk of the Town, Jim Prather.
Hey, good morning. Welcome into hour two here. Tioga just dropped a degree. I was looking at the thermometer. Now it's zero. Was one degree for about an hour there. We're at 3 degrees above zero in Ray, also Crosby. One above now in Stanley and Wild Rose, along with Ross and White Earth. Also Noonan and Columbus coming in at one. Reporting 7 now in Williston. Bismarck is coming in at 10. Grand Forks was coming in at 12. Now they're 11 this morning. Epping is reporting 5 degrees. McGregor also sitting at 0 this morning. We have Powers Lake at 0. And looks like Alamo and Berthold reporting 3, while Fargo is still sitting at a balmy 18 degrees above the zero mark this morning. And a very happy hour two to you, Spencer.
Hey, good morning. It's already hour two. The only way I can kind of tell is it's a little bit lighter outside, so that's a good feeling.
Yeah, there's a beautiful sunrise coming up this morning out here just outside the studio. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning. And looking forward to a nice sunny day, 42 for the high. Sunshine 66 tomorrow, Friday the same, and then over the weekend, mild conditions, sunny to partly sunny, 64 to almost 70 on Sunday, and then by Monday and Tuesday, we kind of fall back into the mid to upper 50s, but some nice weather coming up here. Did get a little bit of that white stuff, last couple days, and of course the high winds that blew through, pretty windy conditions, and now we've got a fire weather watch in effect tomorrow morning through tomorrow evening for all of western and central North Dakota. Going to have some gusty southerly winds, combining with a forecast of a minimum RH factor, relative humidity factor, of 12 to 23% coming up tomorrow, and then you combine that with very dry fuels, you've got a critical fire weather day coming up tomorrow, and it's good for all of western and central North Dakota. So won't be burning anything outside that I'm aware of tomorrow. The National Weather Service in Bismarck has that watch going on, and, all of western and central North Dakota affected, including the counties of Burke, Divide, McKenzie, Montrail, Ward, and Williams. And again, the fire weather watch means that critical fire weather conditions are forecast to occur. They say to listen in for later forecasts and possible red flag warnings. So with that, it is the final day of March for the year of 2021. It's Wednesday. It is the 90th day of the new year, and we have 275 days remaining in 2021. And coming up this morning at about 7:35, we'll be talking with Joy Sparks from the Bank of Tioga. She's a financial literacy coordinator, and she'll talk about how to encourage children to become entrepreneurs. So that'll be an interesting conversation this morning. And then tomorrow morning on Thursday at 7:35, we'll check in with Jamie Kelly, managing editor of the Williston Herald and the Plains Reporter. He'll have some news stories they're working on, and of course, some information about the two publications out of Williams County. Meanwhile, Spence, why don't we get into this morning's daily pledge made possible by KTGO, the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Fantastic. We'll check out some stories news-wise that we're following this morning, brought to us by Red Rock Auto in Watford City. That's where you go. They're committed to providing a very comfortable, hassle-free, no-pressure experience. You get to do it on your terms. You can get that great new vehicle or used vehicle from Red Rock Auto. They're located at 1212 4th Avenue Northeast in Watford City. Meanwhile, yesterday, North Dakota's House overwhelmingly endorsed legislation that is aimed at shielding schools and teachers from lawsuits arising from posting the Ten Commandments in classrooms. The 76-16 vote came despite warnings from attorneys and school officials that the legislation would result in costly and unwinnable legal fights. The Senate approved the measure 34-13 last month, hoping to fend off legal challenges. The House amended the bill with a requirement that the Ten Commandments be included in a display with other historical documents. The bill now goes back to the Senate for concurrence. Proponents of the legislation say it is intended to promote moral behavior in schools and that the U.S. was founded on Ten Commandments principles. Attorneys and the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that prohibits the establishment of religion by the government. The American Civil Liberties Union has been tracking the North Dakota legislation, and they said in a statement yesterday that the passage of the legislation would invite litigation. ACLU said as soon as the Ten Commandments goes up, students' rights will have been violated, and they'll have a cause of action against the school district, adding that all students, regardless of their faith, should feel safe and welcome in our public schools. Displaying the Ten Commandments in classrooms and other school spaces conveys the opposite message. Yesterday, the president of North Dakota State University said that he won't bow to political pressure or proposed sanctions against the school for having ties to Planned Parenthood. He says no matter the academic freedom, it's just a matter of academic freedom as the legislation is pushing legislation to prohibit North Dakota State University from funneling federal grant money to Planned Parenthood for sex education in the state, a move some lawmakers assert may result in classes that promote abortion. Planned Parenthood is the United States' largest single provider of reproductive health services, including abortion. Does not have any health centers or provide abortions in the state of North Dakota, but the proposed ban easily passed the Senate last month. A draft amendment in the House holds harmless other schools, but says any institution that enters into a contract with a person that performs or promotes the performance of an abortion would have its operating budget cut by 2.5%. The school official signing the contract would also face a misdemeanor charge, punishable by up to 30 days in jail and a $1,500 fine. The sanction would mean a $2.8 million blow to the Fargo-based Research University. $250,000 annual grant to the university comes from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. That grant expires in September and won't be renewed, but not because of the legislature's threat of sanctions, but because the faculty member who heads the program is moving on to other things. Still, some lawmakers say an investigation has found the university continues to have interactions with Planned Parenthood that range from academic affiliation agreements to an online sex education trivia event. University officials say such associations with Planned Parenthood will continue. The bill sponsor said that university officials for years have ignored lawmakers' concerns with the school's relationship with Planned Parenthood. It's also said the university is ignoring a state law that forbids using taxpayer dollars to be used as family planning funds by a person or a group that which performs, refers, or encourages abortion. And a full House vote on the amended legislation likely won't happen until early next week at the earliest. And if it's approved, legislators would begin reconciling the differing versions of the bill in conference committee negotiations. It's 7:15. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll be back with more news stories we're following this morning here on KTGO's Talk of the Town.
Broadcasting from the oil capital of North Dakota, this is AM 1090, KTGO, Tioga.
Don't leave me. Look around. Choose your own ground. How you live, how you fly, smiles will give and take.
And that is Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. The actual LP, Dark Side of the Moon, debuted on Billboard's albums chart on this date back in 1973, and it would remain there for a record-setting 741 weeks. So a bigger record-setting album that was for the band of Pink Floyd. 720, great to have you listening in to Talk of the Town this morning with Jim and Spence, and we're following a few news stories, and this segment is being brought to us by the Tioga Medical Center, your destination of choice and convenience. A huge renaissance of change is occurring at the Tioga Medical Center. Very dedicated medical care, emergency, swing bed, hospital, long-term care facilities. You've got many of the region's best-known doctors now treating patients at Tioga Medical Center. Wonderful specialties. A number of different construction projects underway. Of course, some of the specialties available now include cardiology, sports medicine, endoscopy. You've got general surgery, orthopedic surgery, foot, ankle surgery, pediatric oral surgery. More specialties will be added in the coming months. And you can experience these opportunities today in Tioga, Ray, and Powers Lake. And of course, you've got exceptional service quality and choice for your comprehensive health care needs right here in the Tioga area with the Tioga Medical Center. Big city services, small town convenience, all right here in Tioga. Last week, North Dakota senators rejected a bill that would create an easier path for niche cosmetologists to offer some freelance services. That bill was rejected by a 43-4 vote in the Senate last Wednesday. Had overwhelming support in the House last February. The proposed bill would have allowed cosmetologists offering niche services to do so as long as they took a 4-hour safety course. According to the North Dakota Board of Cosmetology, 1426 didn't have nationalized language in it, so if a person was to come to North Dakota or if somebody was certified here and wanted to go to another state, there would be no way for reciprocity. The rejection of the bill means that cosmetologists still need 1,800 hours of training in order to operate legally within the state. The city of Minot still working on collecting some input from residents about ways to improve one of its busiest streets. Yes, Broadway. The Broadway corridor study started last spring, and with just a few more months to go, the city is still looking into getting some feedback from the public. They want to find out anything that people come across, whether it's good or bad. They want improvements. City of Minot taking ideas into consideration. On their city website, movingbroadway.com, residents have had until mid-November to mark specific sections of the road where there are some issues. And they also recently held a public interest meeting where the city says some of the main concerns that were voiced by the drivers included safety, areas of congestion, and difficulties making some left turns. City says they plan to use the study to help form a plan on how to move forward with some adjustments to the street. A second public input meeting is scheduled for the end of April, and a special committee that works on the project will be presenting some of the key findings that were found in the study so far to the city council, and that's coming up on April 12th. The recent surprising snowfall that we got the last couple of days in southwestern North Dakota has brought about some much-needed moisture to farmers and ranchers. National Weather Service reports totals of up to about a half inch in some areas. Williams and McKenzie counties currently facing severe and extreme levels of drought conditions. It is the driest season in recorded history in McKenzie County, and it's the eighth in Williams County history. While any precipitation helps, it will have a minimal impact for farmers that are trying to figure out when to begin planting. And temperatures are expected to soar this weekend. No precipitation in sight. Farmers, well, split on planting after Easter or waiting until May, hoping for more unexpected rain or snow showers. So we'll keep the local area farmers in our thoughts and prayers and wish for the very best on their planting coming up here. Meanwhile, it's 7:25, and Spence, the 250 max capacity facility during the pandemic now holds over 4,000. New footage from a facility in Donna, Texas shows some dire situations at the border. Crisis at the border continues to worsen. Biden still has no plans to visit the Southwest region. Not that it would really matter if he did go down there. Not sure if he really would do much anyway, but the White House is scheduled to hold a bipartisan briefing with House members today, led by DHS Secretary and the HA Secretary. Not on the list of attendees, however, is Kamala Harris, who was tasked with leading the border charge. That's causing some critics to accuse the White House of, well, actually ignoring the issue and just simply pivoting to Democratic-friendly topics. Sure seems that way, at least. Sweeping $3 trillion infrastructure plan, paid for by tax increases. That's what the president is trying to sell Americans now as he launches his Build Back Better plan in Pittsburgh today. That plan is expected to have progressive wish list items like portions of the Green New Deal, as well as an unrelated social program like child care and health care. Not sure how this will be received by Republicans or moderate Democrats. The White House said yesterday they're very open to hearing ideas and proposals from all members of Congress. But critics are pointing to the failed promise to do so with the COVID-19 relief bill, which is setting up for more of a likely scenario when Democrats are forced to use their go-it-alone strategy, which really doesn't take a whole lot of convincing these days. Biden is laying out his $3 trillion spending plan, as local unions fear that this is a Trojan horse to some costly aspects in the Green New Deal. They're saying this is a way to accomplish many of the goals of the Green New Deal. And a member of the union leadership has been recently saying that they could put thousands of energy sector workers out of a job, even saying it will make the Keystone XL pipeline look like child's play. So they'll be in Pittsburgh to break down their plan and talk to workers today and see if it really amounts to what they're saying it could happen with that plan there. Meanwhile, the trial of former Minneapolis police chief officer Derek Chauvin enters its third day with more witness testimony for the prosecution. Yesterday, they had a firefighter paramedic who was at the scene yelling at officers to check George Floyd's pulse. Also from a man who told a 9/11 operator that she was watching police literally not take a pulse and not save a man. Four juveniles were also called by the state, including a teenager who shot the widely seen cell phone video. She got emotional on the stand, told the jurors she began recording because something wasn't right and Floyd was begging for his life. Her young cousin also testified, saying that Officer Chauvin stayed on top of Floyd after EMTs asked him to move. Well, Spence, we're getting close to our Fox Business report. That'll be coming up in just a few short moments. Something kind of interesting here. Volkswagen could be changing their name in the near future. People might be buying from a new company. Both USA Today and CNBC reported that the automaker accidentally published a news release on its website on Monday announcing a name change for the company's American division. According to the release, gas and diesel-powered cars sold in the U.S. would continue to have the traditional VW logo, but electric vehicles would instead have a logo that says Volkswagen. Volkswagen versus Volkswagen. So, is it a hoax? Who knows? I guess we'll find out in a couple days here.
I'm Connell McShane. This is the Fox Business Report.
An airline industry group says its digital travel pass, including your COVID-19 test results and vaccine certificates, will launch in mid-April on Apple. The International Air Transport Association says it will launch later on the Android platform. It could take until next week before the National Labor Relations Board releases results in Amazon's union vote in Bessemer, Alabama. Amazon and union representatives are reviewing whether votes cast are eligible. Hitachi is buying Silicon Valley software developer GlobalLogic for $8.5 billion. Keeping fast food crispy during delivery is the new challenge. Reuters says White Castle is testing a new way to fry its potatoes. McDonald's is said to be trying new breading that will keep its chicken sandwiches crispy. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosola, invested in you.
Cleanliness and safety are essential to the success of any business. That's why Cintas has introduced our Total Clean program, a one-of-a-kind service that includes scheduled deliveries of essential cleaning supplies, hygienically cleaned uniforms, and on-site sanitizer and disinfectant services to help eliminate germs. Learn what the Cintas Total Clean program can do for you.
Oh, I'm ready!
Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
Welcome back. Join the show anytime, 701-664-5846, or email us, ktgo@flagfamily.com. You're locked into AM 1090 and 92.7 FM. This is the Talk of the Town with Jim Prather.
And it's a Wednesday morning, and it's great to have Joy Sparks on the program with us again. Joy, it's been a while. We truly appreciate you taking some time out this morning and sharing some details with us. We know that you're working with the Bank of Tioga. You're the Financial Literacy Coordinator. And you've been on this program a number of times. And now, if you don't mind, we can maybe have you give us some information on how we can encourage children to become entrepreneurs. That sounds like a pretty interesting topic for this morning.
Oh, it is, Jim. And what brought this idea to my mind to talk to you about this is we were invited, myself and Wendy Lindzen, one of the bankers here, were invited to come up and judge Mrs. Claybo's entrepreneurship class at the high school. And these juniors and seniors mainly had created pitch boards about food trucks. So they all had developed these imaginary food trucks and created pitches for us. Jim, they were amazing. The thought, the detail. And at first we were kind of just asking, you know, basic questions, but they were so knowledgeable. We kept Adam, and just it was so fun to see how much thought they'd put into it, how much knowledge they had, how inspired they were. And it got me thinking that I talk a lot about this with the kids, and I need to tell the parents to encourage this behavior. You would have been amazed to see those young people. It was really a fun event to get to participate in, and I was really proud and inspired by our high school students.
Maybe you'll see some new businesses popping up in the near future with some of these ideas and thoughts. It sounds like some pretty good ideas came out of that. So
it was. It was really neat. And then at the elementary level, I talk about this a lot, especially we start in the beginning and we talk about, you know, businesses and how they get started and why businesses are where they are and things like that. But then as I grow and get up into the upper levels in the elementary, we have one whole session that's just on being entrepreneurs. And I define it to them as businesses that take a risk. There has to be a risk involved. So they have to invest their time, their money, their effort. And a lot of the kids all say, tell me some entrepreneurs in whatever town, Tioga, Powers Lake, Crosby, Ray. And, you know, they'll come up with a few. They may come up with, you know, the Red Moose in Tioga or the Porch in Ray or, you know, the Country Store in Powers Lake. But they talk for a long time, and I have to really encourage them to think about the fact that our farmers and ranchers are most definitely entrepreneurs, because who takes a bigger risk than our farming and ranching communities? So that kind of brings it into a new light for some of our kids that are from farming and ranching families. So
that
I wanted
amazing.
To talk. Yeah, I wanted to talk to our parents and people who have small children that they love to think about this and think about pointing it out to their children, point out Main Street businesses, point out, you know, people who have home-based businesses. You know, maybe somebody makes quilts and sells them. Maybe somebody sells their produce from their garden or canning, things like that, to point those out. Those people are entrepreneurs. And what do the kids see? What do they think our communities need? What is something that they wish was around? What's missing? So have the, you know, just when you're in the car and you're driving somewhere, we're in the middle of youth basketball season, so, you know, lots of parents are driving their kids to different communities and just talking about what do we see, what could be, what's needed in this area, where do you see a need in our community, things like that, and encouraging their ideas. So when they get a little older, maybe they want to, you know, start a business and sell lemonade one day, or they want to start walking pets, or they want to mow lawns, things like that. Encourage that, but allow them to fail a little bit too. And they need to have some of their money in the game. So I know in all the communities I serve, there are young people with lawn businesses, but almost all of them's parents were really smart and made them invest a little bit of their money too. So if they don't do what they need to do, they discover some loss too. And it's good to have those lessons come early rather than, you know, at a, when it's a much higher cost than having, you know, spent some money on lawn bags that you didn't get used because you didn't rake like you were supposed to, or, you know, leashes that you didn't use because you didn't walk as many dogs as you thought you were going to, or things like that. So allow those kids, A, to have that opportunity. My next door neighbor did the coolest thing. Their daughter desperately wanted a new puppy, wanted a puppy, and they talked as a family about the cost of a puppy and how, you know, that they didn't know if they could afford a puppy. And so she said she would earn money to help with the puppy. So she sold cookies on the corner, and she had them all bagged up, and her mom had helped her bake them. And so she sat out there and sold her cookies, and she was so excited, and she got to tell everybody what she was saving for. So those are just neat ways to encourage that spirit. Some of the other ones I've seen from the kids are, you know, a number of our rural kids will sell eggs. And I asked one of them, I said, you know, Abigail, does this have any risk? Oh, yeah. We had a weasel get in. It caused, there's a lot of risk involved. So it was, you know, just a great learning experience and a way for them to become entrepreneurs. And, you know, I've seen tutoring services. I've seen, like I said, lawn services, babysitting, and remind the kids that all of these are entrepreneurial activities. And if they plan, they can be more successful. They can do some things to have a better business. I know one of our neighbor boys, when he left for college, some of us were in mourning because we didn't know what we were going to do, because he had done such a good job at getting clients and taking care of people for his lawn business. So just encourage that, remind them. And one of my students in Powers Lake, she was a rural student, and she said, you know, I go to a couple of ranches around me and feed their chickens and just make sure that everything, you know, the water has been there for all the livestock and everything, just because people need to go on vacations too. So I thought that was really clever. She brought that idea up, and she wasn't thinking that it was being an entrepreneur, but I thought it most definitely was being an entrepreneur to think of a need like that. So
that is simply amazing. Yeah.
I know. And she was a sixth grader. She was in the sixth grade. So yeah. Yeah. And remind all of our people that North Dakota was created by entrepreneurs. You know, we had people coming from across the world, you know, from different parts of the United States that were more settled, to come here and to farm and to ranch and to provide goods and services to the farmers and ranchers, and just remind them and share them what the history is of their family coming to North Dakota and how they have an entrepreneur in their family too. And even now, you know, people are buying trucks and starting an independent business. They're trying a new crop out on their farm. They're doing things differently, you know, raising livestock. So just remind them of all of the things that are entrepreneurial that they see every day, but they're just not recognizing. So
seems like a lot of the different ideas are coming kind of from the agri-related you know, areas of life. And, you know, maybe is there anything dealing with petroleum or anything with the oil industry at this point, or maybe,
not quite yet? You know, a lot of the kids know. One of the things we talk a lot about is, like, I have several of my students who family have welding businesses and things like that. Welding businesses, I said the trucks, you know, hauling water, hauling, you know, hotshot services, all of those, we talk about all of those being entrepreneurs. They see a need in our community for water hauling. They see a need for hotshot services. So they're filling that, that need in our community. They're, even things like, you know, lunch trucks for our people who are working strange shifts, or restaurants serving at late hours or getting lunch bags going or things like that. Those are all related to meeting a need within an industry that doesn't hold traditional hours. And a lot of the kids will come up, oh yeah, my dad has a truck, or, oh yeah, you know, my uncle does hotshot services, or, you know, oh, I've got several with welding trucks and families that have welding businesses. And some of them think that they want to go into that part of serving. And then we talk a little bit about how a lot of the businesses here are larger businesses, but we may work for them, but someone took a risk within that larger business. Or someone may see a larger business and think, they do this, but I can supplement, or I can help, or there's a need in this area, so I will create a business to help out that larger business. So yeah. We talk about that a lot, because lots of kids will say, well, my dad, you know, works for, you know, Hess or whoever. And we talk about, well, you know, that had to be entrepreneurs to start that. And there were lots of people who took risks when, you know, Amerada first came in this area. They moved from all over the United States to come here and work. And some of them started their own oil field businesses based on what was happening and things like that. So, yeah, we do talk about that quite a bit.
Wow. So. Yeah, you do cover a lot. And the kids must be pretty excited, you know, before and during and after they get done with some of these sessions that you go through. I can just see kids really thinking, you know, deeply on how they can improve certain things and take a risk and really make it successful. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I have done in the past in the summer in Crosby was we had what's called Lemonade War, where the kids read books, learned about being entrepreneur, or read a book called Lemonade War, learned about being entrepreneurs. And then at the end, we had teams and we had a Lemonade War. So the kids had to have lemonade stands, and they competed against each other on profits, and all of their profits went to charity, but they had to make choices. What kind of a product do we want to sell? Do we want to sell anything besides lemonade? What price point do we want to use? Why are we going to set it this way? And it was amazing, Jim. I had fourth graders debating. Powdered lemonade is less expensive, so it would cost us less to make, but it doesn't taste as good. So should we use frozen? Because this is a fourth grader. And one of them says, no, we should go for less expensive. And the other one says, no one will buy a second cup if it doesn't taste good. So this is fourth graders thinking at this level about what they should do. Now, they did Lemonade War the summer of 2019. So we are going to do in Crosby an entrepreneur camp, and they're going to have to do pitch boards just like the high school did, and the community gets to vote on the different pitches that the kids are going to have for their businesses. And in Tioga, we're going to have the Lemonade War. So the Crosby will be at the public library, and in Tioga we'll have the Lemonade War at the community center. And kids third grade through sixth, they're welcome to participate, but I'll come back and tell you a lot more about that when it's a little bit closer to the date. So,
boy, I certainly look forward to that. Man,
yeah.
It's simply amazing.
Yeah, and the kids that did Lemonade War had they had so much fun, and their pitches were just, they would be getting people out of businesses saying, oh, it's warm out. If you're thirsty, come and have lemonade. And if you know that this money is all donated to charity, so if you'd like to put a little extra in, that's okay. Or if you'd like to buy a glass of lemonade for someone else, they were great. They had such a good time, and they raised over $1,000 for charity too.
Oh,
I'm
my
so
goodness.
Proud of them.
Yes, very enterprising young students there. And, boy, I tell you what, we've got a bright future ahead of us. And we appreciate you going and working with these students and sharing the good news. And can't wait to get you back and talk about some other activities and programs, maybe related to the entrepreneurship program. But looks like we're winding down a little bit on time. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap this segment this morning, Joy?
No, just thanks for letting me come on and, you know, ask your kids about what they do. They're pretty amazing little people. It's pretty fun
to
get to do my job.
Yeah, you've got a fun, exciting job, and that would be a lot of great times for all. So thank you so much for sharing the details, and have a wonderful rest of your day there, Joy. We'll catch you down the road.
All right, thanks for letting me come, Jim.
Absolutely. We'll get into our birthday segment coming up in just a few short moments. This is Talk of the Town, broadcasting live from the Highway 40 studio in Tioga. It is Wednesday. It's March 31st, 2021.
Coming up, Secretary Vilsack is going to be outlining the trade priorities now that he's back in office on the Dakota Farm and Ranch Report. The Dakota Farm and Ranch Report is your news source for all things farming and ranching. I travel throughout the Dakota Territory to bring you the most updated stories pertaining to our area. As a full-time cattle producer, I share in the passion that all egg producers have to raise quality products that feed the world. And I would like to invite you to be a sponsor of the Dakota Farm and Ranch Report and share in this passion. Call 701-255-1234. That's 701-255-1234 for more information to be part of our team. With the Dakota Farm and Ranch Report, I'm Scott Bachmeyer. U.S. Secretary of Ag Tom Vilsack recently discussed his top trade priorities now that he and U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai have been confirmed to their respective positions. During a virtual press conference with members of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters, Secretary Vilsack says that the main focus will be on trade relations with Mexico and Canada, as well as strengthening existing trade agreements with China and Japan.
Implementation of USMCA, expansion of the Japanese trade agreement to eliminate the disadvantage we currently find our beef producers under by virtue of the fact that we've sold a lot of beef to Japan early in the year. We're now faced with a tariff that puts us at a disadvantage in that market based on the current trade agreement. Maintaining some relationship with China so that the Chinese purchases continue at pace and pick up so that they are consistent with the phase one responsibility. Looking for opportunities to expand new relationships in the United Kingdom and in Southeast Asia, and potentially in Africa.
Vilsack adds it'll be important for the U.S. to have an in-person presence in these markets in order to have sustainable success.
We need to understand that the secret sauce of trade, in my view, is making sure that we have enough people in these markets giving us the insights necessary for us to understand precisely what those markets need and want from us, and that we basically respond specifically to that. We have enough partnerships with folks and entities in country so that we not only have ourselves being promoters, but more importantly, we have people from that country, from that region promoting U.S. agriculture, and more promotions, more opportunities for us to showcase.
Vilsack also noted USDA currently has a solid sustainability message, and they want to have a great one into the future. With the Dakota Farm and Ranch Report, I'm Scott Bachmeyer.
American singer Selena, who on this day was 23 years old, was shot to death in Corpus Christi, Texas, by the founder of her fan club. And that founder of the fan club was convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison. And that was a big hit for Selena. I Could Fall in Love here on Talk of the Town this morning. If you're celebrating your birthday, we want to wish you the very, very best. It's always a great day to celebrate a birthday. And today on this March 31st, we have some folks that are celebrating outside of the Tioga area. Let's put it that way. But anyway, Shirley Jones, who was in that TV show, The Partridge Family, the matriarch of the family, the mom of that TV series, is actually 87 years old today. And the guy that played Dr. Kildare back in the day, and he also was in some of those, you know, document programs, or I should say miniseries TV shows back in the day, actor Richard Chamberlain is 87 years old. And the guy that came up with the Tijuana Brass, had a lot of hits with trumpet, Herb Alpert, composer, trumpeter, is 86 years old today. Guitarist from the band Bad Company, Mick Ralphs, is 77 years old today. If you ever saw that TV show Welcome Back, Cotter, back in the day, Gabe Kaplan is 76 years old.
There is a huge unanswered question in the story I'm about to tell you, but first, the facts as we know them. Linda Hampton is a preschool teacher in the Waco Independent Public School District. She saw that one of her young students was in distress. The little boy had stuffed so much pizza into his mouth, it began to choke. So Ms. Hampton ran to the child and performed a finger sweep. Now, for those of you in Rio Linda, a finger sweep isn't what you think it is. The teacher cleared out the boy's mouth with her finger, pulling out a gob of pizza. The boy was saved. It was a job well done. But a year later, state regulators reviewing the situation moved to take away Linda Hampton's teaching license. Apparently, a classroom aide had a different perspective. She claimed a teacher's finger sweep was just a mean-spirited attempt to deprive the five-year-old of his public school breakfast. Yet another adult in the classroom backed Ms. Hampton's account, but state investigators never bothered to speak with her. Now, thankfully for Linda Hampton, Robert Mueller wasn't called in, or she might be still under investigation. Finally, last week, after 2 years, she prevailed when the aide admitted the boy had indeed been in distress. The judge tossed the case, which brings us to the big unanswered question. Since when do preschool kids get taxpayer-supplied pizza for breakfast, for crying out loud? To heck with the finger sweep. When did we start doing this?
Daisy sheds like crazy.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DinoVite.com.
I was thrilled when I heard DinoVite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
DinoVite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
DinoVite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DinoVite.com.
When it comes to building wealth, knowing where you stand is half the battle. That's why we've created Stifel Wealth Tracker. Stifel Wealth Tracker lets you build your personal balance sheet and track your net worth over time. You can securely link your financial accounts using bank-level encryption and even connect with a Stifel financial advisor if you need professional guidance regarding your situation. Download Stifel Wealth Tracker on the App Store, Google Play, or by going to stifel.com/tracker. That's STIFEL.com/tracker.
Almost wrapping the program here. Looks like the legal and financial version of March Madness taking place. Sports fans focused on college women and men's basketball tournaments. Supreme Court serving as referee on a controversial aspect of amateur athletics. The justices will hear oral arguments this morning on whether the NCAA is using its antitrust protections to illegally cap education-based benefits for student athletes. The very future of college sports could be at stake here. Some of the college athletes in the basketball tournament have been protesting this week on social media. And, of course, the Supreme Court is set to hear the arguments today on whether college athletes should be paid. Athletes and their advocates say they should be compensated beyond just tuition, room, and board, benefiting from things like the sale of their memorabilia and endorsements of products. And NCAA says the world will be different. It'll ruin the friendly, competitive nature of the organization and further blur the line between amateur and professional sports. So that goes on. College athletes await a pivotal ruling. We'll find out how that happens probably by the end of the day. This is